Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, this morning, we're beginning the first of our five-week sermon series on the book of Philippians. And if I had to pick just one word to describe this letter of Paul, it would be joy. And that's fitting, especially for this weekend, as last night we were celebrating the end, the official end of Mason Veith, our vicar, his end of his time with us here. It's a celebration not really because we're glad that he's over and his time is done among us, but a celebration because we are honestly thankful for his work in our midst. And we'll be continuing to pray for him in the months ahead as he completes his seminary career. Now, in this letter of Paul, he uses the word joy and rejoicing 16 times in this short letter. He pens this letter of thankfulness and appreciation for all of their work in the ministry and their partnership with him. And one of the things that shines through in this letter is his joy, the joy that he has as he remembers this church and their work and their partnership with him in the gospel. But what makes this book so remarkable to me isn't just the fact that it's a joyful, cheerful letter. It's the fact that it's joyful and cheerful. And Paul's able to strike that tone despite the fact that he's in jail at that time. And that's why in these first 18 verses of chapter 1, I think these are two important keys to keep in mind as we progress through verse by verse and chapter by chapter in this letter over the next 4 weeks, not counting this week. The first is the tone, and it's unmistakable. If you look in your bulletins, starting at verse 3, you catch it right off the bat. Paul says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. It's impossible to miss the tone that Paul strikes in this letter. It's really easy as you read through this letter, or as you hear it, to imagine Paul hunched over a desk at night writing this letter by candlelight with a smile on his face as he's remembering the work that these saints of God in Philippi have partnered with him on. They've been some of his strongest supporters, both in his missionary journeys and now in his imprisonment in Rome. And that's the second thing to keep in mind as we work through this sermon series on Philippians and the joy that we see in this book. It's the location from which Paul is writing, or you could say the circumstances under which he's writing. Because he's not writing this letter with a drink in his hand and his toes in the sand. He's writing this letter from jail. He's in house arrest, under imprisonment, and under imperial guard. I think all of us would agree those are less than ideal circumstances. Now, none of us have, in our own life, circumstances that exactly match Paul. At least, I hope no one's been skipping out on their house arrest to come and worship. We've got the live stream for that. But we can all, I think, empathize with the experience that Paul is undergoing here as he's writing this letter. Because we know what it's like to be enslaved to sin. We know what it's like to feel trapped in circumstances that seem beyond our control. In this year, 2020, it's probably one of the biggest moments that we have as we realize what that circumstance is like. When it feels like this year, especially the last 5-6 months, we jump from one disaster to another and then back again. We've got COVID and we've got the wildfires burning out of control on the West Coast. We had the windstorm that struck Iowa about a month ago and hurricanes. And it just seems to go round and round. And if that weren't enough, many of us have experienced loss of jobs and loss of hours. We've had our own experiences and our friends who have experienced loss of life and loss of health. And all of us, in one way or another, have experienced the loss of what up until about 5 months ago we would say is a normal way of life. So in the face of all of that, if you had to characterize your emotional state with one word over the past 5-6 months, what would it be? Sad? Angry? Depressed? Powerless? Imposed upon? Probably the word that would not first come to your mind would be joy. But it's my hope that that changes. It's my prayer that over the course of the next 4 weeks, as we read through the book of Philippians, that God works that change in your heart. It is not impossible. And this letter is proof positive of that. Now, if you look down at verse 12, at the end, the tail end of these verses for today, Paul begins to answer at least a little bit of the question, or give us a glimpse into how he can be joyful in the midst of his present circumstances. And this is what he says. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are now much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul then goes on to say that some are preaching Christ out of rivalry and envy, some out of goodwill, but he says at the end of all of that, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. See, Paul didn't see himself as a victim of circumstance. He was able to see in the midst of what he would probably say not be his choice, in the midst of his imprisonment in Rome, he's able to see the mighty hand of God at work, even though he's not where he would probably want to be. And that makes all the difference. That frees him from what we would probably give him a pass at, an understandable occasion for a pity party. It frees him from that. To rejoice that even though these circumstances are not the greatest from his perspective, God is still at work. The gospel is still being proclaimed. And you've been given the same hope and that same cause for joy that Paul has. You are no victim of circumstance, whatever the circumstances of your life happen to be. Now, will there be things that happen beyond or outside of your control? Sure. They always do. We make our plans for today and tomorrow and the next month and the next year. Sometimes they work out the way we want, and sometimes they don't. If we're honest with ourselves, most of the time we live with an illusion of control over our lives, and sometimes things happen like this year that completely shatter that illusion. And many of us, when that happens, we begin frantically trying to stitch back together that illusion, and we're all the more miserable for it. But as children of God, you have something much better than illusion and an illusion of control. You have Christ. His death on the cross was no accident. God had planned it from the beginning, the foundation of the world, so that you and I might be redeemed. And because of that, you can rejoice, because God's got this. There is nothing that has happened in the past or that will happen today or that will happen in the future that is outside of God's control. So rejoice. And when you encounter people that are weighed down or broken by this world, then share some of that joy and peace that God has given you in Christ with them. I'm going to leave you with these words from the Apostle Paul, and this is words at the beginning of his second letter to the Corinthians, where he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. So this week, keep your eyes open and share that comfort, that hope, and that joy that you have in Christ with those you meet. In His name, amen.